solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm moving to number two on the Triple Dipper. And I'm calling this one here on the home front. There's some things that are happening right now that definitely affect us right here in Alabama. Not the least of which, by the way, is the fact that just, I mean, like a moment ago, it just flashed up on the screen here in the studio. The price of oil is through the roof. Right now, it is $106 per barrel. Now, keep in mind, we are buying like upwards of $10 million plus a day from Russia. I have no idea why that's considered to be a good idea. But nonetheless, there it is. But what it does do is affect us, you know, right here at home, prices at the pump. Keep in mind, too, by the way, right now, 10 cents on every dollar you're paying at an Alabama pump is because your legislature chose to raise your gas taxes just a couple of years ago. They did. That was in 2019. So in 2019, our state legislature, in conjunction with Governor Ivey, raised your gas taxes right here in Alabama. Your Republican supermajority raised your gas taxes, and they also, by the way, put it on an escalating scale so that it can raise in perpetuity hereafter and continue to go up without any need for a further vote of the legislature. And that's just awful. And are you hearing anything right now out of your legislature about the possibility of freezing that during this time? No, you're not. So that's a conundrum. It's a problem, and I don't appreciate it. Now that being said, I will say I was really pleased to see today, and I've got the audio, like I mentioned to, I think it was from Jeff from Indiana when he called earlier. I was talking about the fact that I've got audio that it will play in a moment or a little bit that literally has Joe Manchin, Democrat, and Lindsey Graham, Republican, both calling upon the Biden administration to go ahead and restore our ability to have energy independence. Now, let me tie another piece of that here on the home front for you. When President Biden came into office and signed an executive order, immediately killing the Keystone Pipeline and freezing the opportunity for new oil and gas exploration and leases, he crushed a piece of the Alabama economy. Did you know that? I've talked about it once or twice on here before, but let me just go ahead and refresh. So here's the thing. Alabama has a huge rainy day fund, billions of dollars in reserve. We are actually one of the more solvent states in the nation, believe it or not, in large part because we have a rainy day fund that is a set aside. And that set aside fund is funded largely with royalties from oil and gas exploration in our own Gulf coastal waters, all of which came to a screeching halt when Biden issued his order. The year prior to that order being issued, Alabama earned $50 million that year just on oil and gas exploration in our coastal waters. You heard me, $50 million and the tap was turned off. We could turn that tap back on. We could go ahead and rekindle some of the oil and gas industry that has been not only shut down, but then has begun to hedge itself because they don't know whether to invest in their own opportunities because they may wind up being at a loss with a government that is unfriendly to fossil fuels. But right here in Alabama, we're losing right now $50 million a year. Your price at the pump is harder because of that, and your price at the pump is made even harder by your state legislature and your current governor who chose to raise your taxes. So I would dare say right now you are paying an exponential amount more, in part because of both Republican local leadership and Democrat national leadership. Don't think that it's all just Joe Biden. It's not. All right, also right here at home, let me do this. As I'm talking about things here on the home front, kind of shifting gears, I'm surfing right now, if you will, through multiple waves of things that are happening here at home. One of which is, do you remember the awful gambling bill they came up with last year? By the way, if you like casinos, that's fine. I'm not even here talking about the ins and outs of casino operations. What I am saying is this: that bill was awful. Listen, that bill that they had last year, they literally did things like, okay, who does this? They literally did things like they took the names of the several bad actors who have been breaking Alabama's laws for years, not paying their existing taxes, some of them, multiple arrests, multiple litigations against the state of Alabama or by the state of Alabama, you know, raids by state troopers, all of it, those same bad actors somehow got their names written into the bill so that the names of those businesses would be embedded in our Constitution as the only ones who, by name and location, are allowed to have full-blown Class 3 gaming casinos, Vegas-style casinos. Let me bring that down to another analogy. The gambling bills they had last year would be, let's say that you lived in a town that had one grocery store. Well, that's not competition. They can price their produce however they want to, right? Well, you would hope the free market would say, we're going to have another grocery store because that's going to be good and the people will shop there and it'll cause both sides to get their game up. What if your local leadership decided, no, we're going to pass an ordinance that says that only Publix can have a store in this town? Would that be reasonable? Should the government be picking winners and losers like that? No. Should the government ever embed the name of a business, a private entity, into the laws of the land as a monopoly sanctioned by government? No. And that's what the bills did last year. Well, right now, my friend, State Senator Greg Allbritton, he's the leading proponent right now seeking to have gambling legislation reintroduced this year. 1819news.com reporting that Senator Allbritton says he's got three bills he's going to be dropping in. He's going to be introducing these three bills. He's trying to introduce them this week. He said that he believes that he's got the votes. I'm hearing right now he does not have the votes. I'm hearing right now that in caucus meeting today that he discovered that he did not truly have the votes. I don't think there's the appetite for it, and I don't think he's going to be able to get it done this year. I think next year is the one to really watch for, but we'll see. We're going to come back here in a few minutes with my buddy Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5. He's politically astute. He also works now with 1819news.com, where I just got that story. We're going to hash that out, among other things, not the least of which we're going to switch gears to and also talk about the State of the Union and what's going to be happening tonight. I'm calling that segment the State of the State of the Union because it's in a weird state. I don't mean state geographically. I mean it's in a weird condition because there are things that President Biden's having to do. They're probably having to scratch out pieces of that right now and rewrite portions. But yeah. But we'll be back in just a minute or two with my buddy Jeff Poor, and we'll break all that down. Other things are happening right now. The constitutional carry bill in the state legislature is held up, and there are some concerns, a story I'm looking at right now, literally, that there are some concerns that that bill has actually got a couple of pitfalls in it, that it may be designed to sort of hurt your constitutional rights to bear arms, because it gives businesses so much ability to limit your capability within their households. I don't know. I just watch this thing and I'm thinking, man, just go for the pure bill. Just say you do. You have a constitutional right. You just do. Go for it. All right, folks. We're going to take a break right now. I'm in number two at the Triple Dipper here on the home front. My buddy Jeff Poor coming up to dissect it with me for a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, I told you right before the last break that I had this story that I pulled up 1819 News, and I may not should tell you this story because some of y'all might get in there and scarf up all the ammo before I can order mine. But yeah, right here in our listening area, a company called Callaway Ballistics, located, actually, they're kind of in West Jefferson County, so they may be slightly outside of the usual listening area, but I know they can reach it down there. But nonetheless, Callaway Ballistics is located over in West Jefferson County. They literally just started, four friends got together, and they decided, you know, we think we can make and sell ammo. And man, they are kicking it. In fact, there's a video of them now on 1819 News showing their operation and how they literally make thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo and sell them on the market. You can actually order it online. They produce mostly 9mm, 380, 38 Special. They also do several different loadings of 9mm. You can get it, you know, with different powder or different number of grains. And they've got 223, 300 Blackout, 6.5 Creedmoor. And they can do some, you know, specialized by doing it by hand for you. But nonetheless, you can, I love this. I mean, this is literally, it's homegrown, but it's turned into a true industry. They went from four guys who were best friends, a lot of whom were ex-military or several of whom were ex-military. And they just thought, you know what, we're going to do this. And so they put everything they had into it, formed a company called Callaway Ballistics. And they are now at 9 employees and they are cranking it out like you would not believe. They provide ammo right now to individuals, to law enforcement agencies. They can make customized bullets with a hand press. Anyway, I just thought the story was cool, especially if you're like me, if you're a gun guy, and you don't even want to go to the range because you're afraid you'll burn off your ammo at the range and not be able to get resupply because the stores are still short a lot of times. So you can check them out. Like I said, their name is Callaway Ballistics. They are not, by the way, this is not an ad. I'm just telling you it's a cool story that I saw. 1819news.com is where I found the story, and 1819 has actually got not just the story in writing, but they've got a video of the operations there at Callaway. It's CallawayBallistics.com. You can check that out, and yeah, I'm gonna be ordering. And by the way, the prices were great when I saw them. I mean, it's amazing the pricing that was. It was so low. I want to say, you know, a box of 25, 223, 55 grain. Was something like $16.50 on sale, which is great right now. I mean, you're not finding that kind of a price anywhere. Small boxes, obviously, but you can order multiple boxes. So there you go. Anyway, all you gun guys out there, just telling you, there's an option, and it's homegrown right here on the home front. One other story that I thought was interesting. So you're hearing a lot about the constitutional carry bill in the state legislature. And it's gone through some machinations. It's been one of those things that has, you know, not gone the way that the Republicans said they were going to do it. I mean, it was all about preserving your constitutional liberties. We're going to fight for the Second Amendment. We're going to make sure you don't have to pay for your constitutional rights. We passed that bill multiple times in the state Senate when I was there and sent it down to the House, and it never went anywhere. This time, the House passed it, but they put so many reservations in it because the business community got involved and got their lobbying effort in there, and the Sheriff's Association is scared of losing their money, and the gun control advocates. I mean, the pressure got turned on, and apparently the House has passed to the upstairs to the Senate what was referred to as a weaker version. And right now, there are some who are trying to portray this. Here's the latest tactic against the bill. AL.com. Storyline 2 days ago. Headline, typical AL.com. By supporting constitutional carry, are Alabama Republicans defunding the police? Come on. I mean, the reality, okay, first of all, yes. I guess the point being there, do the sheriff's departments make a lot of money off the sales of permits? They do. Should we have to pay for our constitutional rights? That's the question. So that being said, they're capitalizing on defund the police and trying to scare Republicans now, because that's been one of the things that Republicans have spoken out against left and right. And now they're trying to take a constitutional liberty, a fight for it, and equate that in some way to BLM's calls to defund the police. What a disingenuous argument. It is not that. More to come on that bill. All right, folks, we're taking the full-on news break, top of the hour. It's 4 o'clock already. Some of you guys already smell the barn. You're ready to go home for the day. Hang in there. One more hour of Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going to the last hour of the show here. By the way, if you want to call in, love to have you. 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. Continuing on the thread that I was on before we went to the break of number two on the Triple Dipper here on the home front. I'm going to be talking through a few more things that are there, but let me tell you one of the home front things that's going on here that you need to know about. ZLA Solutions, man. I know that was a great smooth segue, wasn't it? But ZLA Solutions, I know these folks. I was talking to them this morning about something. So they literally are one of the best at putting people back to work. If you need a job, you can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got good jobs all over North Alabama. They told me they've got jobs right now that are posting at $20 an hour, some of them, some with benefits. I mean, just literally check it out, ZLAUSA.com. But here's the other thing. Their bread and butter is recruiting for you. So if you are an employer and you need more people for your workforce, you might want to consider checking them out at ZLAUSA.com. They can do the background checks, the recruiting, the drug testing, all of it, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. They just will be there for you because ZLA Solutions, they like to say, we don't make it, we make it better by finding the people for the jobs. So yeah, check them out at ZLAUSA.com. All right, so things that are happening here on the home front, you know, one of the things that caught my attention, when I see a similar story in two places, especially when I trust one of them, like 1819, I do trust. I know all the folks at 1819. I trust them completely. Story on AL.com 2 days ago. Preceded a couple of days prior to that by one on 1819, which I guess means 1819 got there first. So let's do this. 1819news.com had their story saying, title, headline, experts warn of cyber attacks amid Russian invasion of Ukraine. So this story is actually 4 days old. And it points out, it says, the Ukrainian government makes its final stand to hold their capital of Kyiv against invading Russian forces. The FBI and national and cybersecurity experts have warned Western companies to raise their security status to be very aware of the fact that Russian cyber attacks are a very strong potential. 1819 says they spoke with a cybersecurity expert, a guy named Jacob Roya, to assess a threat to the U.S. And Roya is a CEO of a company called Interframe Corporation. He says the threat is not just limited to Ukraine. He says when you have a nation like Russia conducting cyber ops at that scale against a nation like Ukraine, it could affect a great deal of infrastructure. Things like, what could that be? Things like, you know, your utilities, your banking, regulatory offices or government offices. Think about how many people are on the government payroll in Alabama alone. Well, we've had state actors attempt to hack the Alabama state systems in the past. I know that for a fact as a former state senator, that those firewalls have to remain strong. That's a story on 1819, all right? Story off AL.com 2 days later literally says right here in this listening area that they are, the story of this one says Russian hackers could launch cyber attacks against Huntsville. Why Huntsville? Well, the point being there that Huntsville has so much in it, Redstone Arsenal, the FBI, the industry, the defense industry in the area, and they go on to talk about the fact that it could be any number of things that would attract cyber attacks to the Huntsville region. And they point out that Huntsville is a national defense center. It's what's known as a center of excellence in government parlance. So got a lot of high-value targets, basically, with leading national roles in things like missile and space and lasers and helicopters and drones and logistics. So all said and done, yeah. I agree. I'm not saying that as some kind of a, I know something you don't know. I don't know any more than what I've read to you, but I do believe that you can just look at it on paper and go, yep, there's a whole lot right there in that Huntsville area that would be worthy of a cyber attack. Copper, you're writing me a whole bunch of notes on the board. What is happening right now? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. So I was curious, is Ukraine's internet still up because Elon Musk is sending them a bunch of satellites, maybe?
Oh, that was a very cool story, by the way. Did I talk about that on the air? Or
I don't
mean,
think
I
so.
Sure meant to. Well, you know what? I think I had that in my stack yesterday and never got to it. Yeah, great story. So I love this. This is the private sector stepping up. So apparently, the vice president of Ukraine tweeted out that, you know, internet was being fractured by Russian cyber attacks, and he basically tweeted at Elon Musk and said, hey, Elon Musk, you know, we could use your help, use some of your billions. I've forgotten how he said it. Well, within like a half hour, Elon Musk tweets back, open source, the whole world can see it, and says that done. He basically he's got a system called Starlink, and Starlink is basically a satellite capable internet system that you don't have to have hard line, you don't have to have, you know, your towers. You can access it via satellite feed, and so basically he's keeping Ukraine on the net, which is a huge deal, not just for their government operations or military operations, but also so they can get the news out to the world as to what's happening. So basically, the lines of communication to the outside world are being kept open despite the fact that Russia's trying to shut it down, all because of a billionaire who decided to basically put his resources into helping some good people. So how cool is that? Good point, Copper. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's made a huge difference in public opinion.
Oh, yes, and it has. You're talking about the news getting out, making a difference in public
opinion? All those viral videos of people being super cool, making one-liners. I mean, I was talking last week about how nobody cared about Ukraine because it didn't have a personal impact or a Hollywood element. They definitely have that now.
They're going to make movies about Volodymyr Zelensky some point. I mean, the dude stands, it looks like he stands about 5'6", and he is wearing it out right now. Well, listen, by the way, did you have a caller a minute ago? Did he want to make a political statement about one of the candidates? Don't tell me who.
I think he had a question about Mike Durant, but
okay. Well, yeah, we don't usually we're not gonna. Okay, nonetheless, if you want to attack a candidate, don't call in. If you want to ask a question about a candidate, that's fine. But we'll deal with that if he calls back. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna switch gears here in a minute and go to some things that are happening on the State of the Union, if you will. I mean, things like, I don't know. It's funny how COVID went away just in time. When's the last time you heard a news story about COVID? The only stories you're hearing are the ones you have to search for, because things like, I don't know, maybe suddenly you don't have to have a COVID test anymore to be able to do business in government. Or maybe suddenly you don't have to wear a mask tonight when you come to the State of the Union address. It's going to be interesting to watch this tonight. You heard me talking with my buddy Jeff Bohr a while ago, but I've got a sound clip. I tell you what, let's see how much time we got here. Copper, clip 5 is Dana Perino. Let's just go ahead. Dana Perino talking about the State of the Union address tonight. Let's lead off with that. Go ahead and play clip 5.
What do you expect Joe Biden to focus on tonight? I mean, we have this Russian invasion, we have inflation, supply chain crisis, we have gas prices through the roof, open borders. How is he going to spin it in a positive light?
Well, one of the things that you will definitely see him do today is get a standing ovation because not of something that he has done as an accomplishment, but because of the president of Ukraine. This man, Volodymyr Zelensky, has united the West and even people in our country to be inspired by his courage and his bravery. So I think the first standing ovation you will see tonight in a moment of unity and a little bit of a grace note will be about the president of Ukraine. And then he's going to have to figure out a way to talk about how we can support what we are going to be willing to do in the middle of what is an incredible split-screen moment with the indiscriminate shelling of the major cities of Ukraine as the Russians try to take over in an 18th century land grab in a 21st century world. We have never seen anything like this. And States of the Union addresses, they usually take months to put together.
Yeah.
I imagine that this one went through many revisions over the last several days.
No kidding. We understand the president.
I would think she's true. Go ahead and cut it there. That is absolutely, I mean, what a great summation. And I love that line she pointed out. She said, we're looking at an 18th century land grab in the 21st century setting. And that's exactly right. It's like the conquest of, you know, medieval kings trying to expand their kingdoms. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's looking for more land and resources he doesn't have. He sees them next door, so he's going for it. I tell you what, I've got a caller on line 3. I've only got about less than a minute, so let me just take it before I don't want to have to wait during the break. So let's do that. Let me grab line 3 real quick. Tim from Somerville. Hey, Tim, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, Phil. Hey, I'll get right to the point because you're short on time. I'm a fellow Army aviator, got nothing but respect for Michael Durant's career, okay?
Okay.
No axe to grind there. What I wonder is, he's running as a super conservative, and we already know Mo Brooks is a super conservative, and we know that the rhinos in the Senate don't want him. So I wonder where Michael Durant's support is coming from.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, I don't know. It's an open seat. So, you know, here's the thing. It's not like he's running against an incumbent. He's running against somebody who's been in office but who's not been in that office. So, you know, Mike Durant is saying, hey, I'm as qualified to take that seat as the guy who's been in Congress. Now, if he was running against Mo for Mo's congressional seat and Mo was the incumbent, I'd say, okay, how are you claiming to be the conservative if you're running against the true conservative? But I think what we got here, Tim, is it's a case, it's an open seat, and that sort of changes the dynamic. It's different people all wanting the job, each claiming to be the most conservative. And yeah, Mo definitely has the ire of the McConnells, you know, group up in DC. But nonetheless, it's an open seat, so that changes the dynamic of what you're talking about, I think. If that makes sense to you.
Okay. Well, yeah, it does. To me, if Michael was running for the representative seat that Mo vacated, I would have absolutely zero problems voting for him, but I don't know enough about him.
Well, and I think that's the thing. I mean, you just gave the true essence of why campaigning is necessary. You got two guys, well, and Katie Britt too, actually three people who are the top tier candidates for that race, each claiming to be the most conservative, each coming from a different angle, a different personality, a different resume, but they're all running for an open seat. So they're not running against somebody who's holding the job. They're all running for the job equally. Got to go, Tim. Appreciate the call, man. Call back in anytime. All right, folks, we're going to run to a break right now. Come right back and keep working this segment. If you want to call in, I'd love your perspectives on things. What do you think about Ukraine? What do you think about the State of the Union tonight? Are you going to watch it? I want to know if you're going to watch it. Tell me that. And if you got an idea how many times you think Biden's going to whisper in the microphone, tell me that too. 866-494-9866. Right Side Radio. Phil Williams. We'll be right back.